Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
What were you saying about the lyrics to the song?
That they're very good.
Was that the whole thing?
Yes. But I mean, if you listen to any of their songs, everybody Tears wants to rule the world. Like Tears for Fears, like we're fucking incredible. Hey, as lyricists, anyway,
so are you gonna sing it or not?
No, because you just sang it, and I was saying something, and you sang it.
What does that feel like? Honestly,
you are so immature. Okay, you're
just so immature. How funny is it?
Everybody needs to know how fucking immature you are.
Everybody loves me. Don't worry about that. Listen, isn't it funny how little Lola has become Miss 80s?
She's so cunt.
And Ange is thrilled. She's like, randomly, I'm hearing all my old 80s songs come back. And I'm listening to Tears for Fears. I'm listening to all this stuff because Lola's like, you know.
Whenever but the funny thing is, like, I played that stuff all the time.
I know, but you're not cool. And so when she sees Stranger Things, when she sees Stranger Things doing all the 80s stuff, that's when she's like, "Oh, Millie, that must be cool."
Fucking Millie Bobby Brown. Oh, my she God. Loves it. Everything's Millie Bobby Brown. But I got her. Did I tell you I got her a guitar the other day? My dad rings me. And goes, "Mate, I'm in this house, and you know this old man has died, and he has all these instruments. And he sent me through photographs of everything. And he goes, dude, there's a guitar here, like an electric guitar." And I'm like, "Really?" I said, because Lola wants an electric guitar. I said, "How much is it?" And he's like, I think I can get it for $100. So he bought this electric guitar for $100. He brings it home. Like, you look at it and you think, that's amazing. That is like literally an amazing guitar. So she gets it and puts it under her arm and brings it into school. And when she brings it into school, she comes back that night and goes, Dad. And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I was meant to get an electric guitar." I said, "You did get an electric guitar." She goes, "No, that's a bass guitar."
Oh, my God. So you and your father are exactly the guitar, same. Yeah.
But we got an amazing piano.
Oh, great.
We did.
Anyway. Yes.
So, come on, talk to me.
At least you got something
Yeah.
We're talking about, I want to talk about this quote.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about it in relation to money.
Okay.
So.
Shoot.
A breakthrough in sabotaging your life is to go from, "This is what I do," to, "Holy fuck, look at what I was doing."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the way I see that is, this is what I am, this is what I do, is when a person is stuck in that cycle and they don't know how to get out of the cycle and they just keep doing it. And, you know, no matter what they try, they can't get out of it. And they're like, "This stuck is just, in the cycle." I just keep, like, I'll sit with people and they'll go, "I just keep doing it. Like, I'll get money and then I'll attract a bill and I'll lose it. And then I'll get money and then I'll attract a bill and I'll lose it. And I'll feel like I've got some savings and things are going really well, then I'll have a car crash. I feel like I've got some savings and things are going really well and the fucking kitchen burns down." And they just keep attracting this tragedy, triumph situations. And they get caught in that cycle. And the problem is that, you know, as we say all the time, repetition lulls the brain to sleep. So the brain can't see any way out of it.
Mm.
And so you have to have a breakthrough. You have to break through the cycle to be able to see what is happening in the cycle.
So to be able
and
to...
And to stop the cycle.
And to be able to look at it from a different perspective, to be able to say, "Holy fuck, this is what I was doing."
Yeah.
That's what we're saying, right? Yeah. So when you're in...
And holy fuck, look at what I was doing has a couple of different ways to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, look at what I was doing comes from a point of, wow, isn't that, look at how life works. Isn't that so intelligent that this cycle kept happening in order to
show you something.
In order to show me something. And it wouldn't give up.
Mm.
And it kept occurring until eventually one day I was emotionally intelligent enough to actually stop and see what the cycle was actually showing me.
Yeah. Well, I think you talk about that in terms of relationships a bit, because you talk about the fact that you had a 4-year cycle in your relationships and it wasn't until you were with Ange that you realized, holy shit, I've actually got a 4-year cycle in my relationship.
Yeah.
And then you took yourself, like when you noticed that you were doing the same thing that you would have done previously,
right,
you had the conversation with Ange to let her know that this is what you were doing,
yeah.
that I'm getting to this point in my cycle now.
Yeah.
So you were able to look at it from a different perspective
yeah.
and then shift it as a result.
Well, when you talk about a cycle to someone close to you,
yeah.
you talk about the cycle. You can't be talking about the cycle
while you're in it.
Unless you're outside of it.
Mm.
Because while you're in it, you don't know that you're in it. Does that make sense? You're not conscious that it's a cycle.
Mm.
You understand?
Do you think you're not conscious? I know that people know that they have cycles though. They mm-hmm. know that they have thought patterns that hold them back.
But it's unconscious. It's just below their consciousness. They will just go through it. You know, that's how you know they're not conscious of it. Because if you were conscious of putting your hand over a fire and getting burnt continuously, you fucking wouldn't put your hand over the fire.
I don't know if I agree with that, because people are like, you knew you had 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every relationship, you knew that it disappeared after 4 years. So mm-hmm. you knew that there was a cycle.
But not while I was going through it with the other women that I was with. So I had to go around a few times before I went, fuck, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
But then even, did you not get that whole what the fuck thing before you were able to communicate it?
No. Really? I didn't know, no. Because I didn't know anything about cycles.
Right.
Does that make sense? I didn't even understand what cycles were. I didn't even contemplate that this actually might be a cycle.
Yes.
You know, I didn't even contemplate that the cycle was connected to my mother's upbringing and her own battery and everything that happened to her.
That there I definitely see yeah. as different. That yeah. there I can say, sometimes you don't know why you're in the cycle, but mm. I think people know that they're in a cycle. Some people know that they're in a cycle and don't know why they're in the cycle or how to come out of the cycle.
Mm.
But I think that like I think people can be wise enough to see that they make money and lose money, that they think a certain way about money, but they don't know how to think any greater
mm-hmm.
or think any differently. And as a result of that, they're sabotaged because they'll be able to say, yeah, no, I make money and then I lose it again. They'll be able to tell you what the cycle is, but they wouldn't be able to look over it and talk about it from a third person or from a higher perspective because they're still in it. So mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that part. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the cycles
Well, maybe there's a couple of levels to understanding that then.
Maybe. But the cycles are, the way I see it is, you're sabotaging your life when you're in this whole this is what I do thing. You're saying that you're repeating the patterns over and over. So you can repeat the pattern in a physical sense, in the sense of like particularly with money, that you know that you're supposed to be saving, but you don't.
Yeah.
Or you know you're not supposed to touch your savings, but you do. Mm-hmm. Or you know that you're supposed to feel worthy of X, Y, Z, but you don't. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that all these thoughts and feelings and experiences come into play with that, and you don't know how to
right.
step outside of that. And we were talking about one earlier, a very common one, which was about people thinking that money doesn't buy them happiness
mm-hmm.
and people having this perspective that, you know, well, I'm okay to be poor or I'm okay not to step up or challenge myself because money doesn't buy happiness anymore.
But I mean, the thing about it is that it's such fucking bullshit. Like it's just bullshit. Of course fucking money buys you happiness. Of course it does. But it's saying that happiness through money is a fucking bad thing. What the fuck are they talking about? Like, whoever came up with that idea? Money absolutely buys you happiness. Why? But happiness is transient. It's momentary. It doesn't buy you... Happiness is not permanence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Happiness is something that is fleeting and you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've managed to master your money enough to be able to get yourself out of your fucking mortgage, of course you're going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So money does buy you happiness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And this is one of the delusions of you know, I said it in a room not so long ago, and I 30 odd high end students in the room, and we were on just coming out the back end of Money Day, and I said, look, you know, does money buy you happiness, guys? And they're all like, no. 40% of the room, 50%, 60%, 70% of the room, no. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Where have you been? Because it does buy you happiness. But if you suddenly pay out your mortgage because you've got money, and are you going to be happy that you were organized and disciplined and focused and, you know, you were, you know, generous and you were, you know, astute and you were smart and intelligent? Are you going to be really like, fuck, man, wow, You know, I'm in my lifetime, I severed a motherfucking lineage that got me away from a bank. Do you know what I mean? Of course you're going to be fucking happy. So I just think that people need to really, really wake up to that. That money definitely buys you happiness.
I think that the concept of that thought, though, is really about the fact that you need money to be happy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or you need it, and that's the only thing that's going to get you there. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why people have that thought. But what happens is that they attach themselves to that type of thought as opposed to attaching themselves to the person that can step up into
Okay, so just look at it this way. If somebody goes, you know, you need money to be happy. Well, money is an energy exchange, right? So it's an exchange of love. It's a currency. It's an arm. So, and arms are currency, and we measure currency.
Like a sound.
Like a sound. Is a currency. It, and this is why, you know, the Buddhists would meditate. That's what they're doing. It's they're actually saying So, and because they're talking, they're trying to vibrate at a certain currency. Well, money is energy currency. It's a currency of exchange, right? So, the truth about it is, you definitely need money to make you happy. How can I explain it? Because I'm
playing devil's advocate because I want to make sure that you're clear. Because like we will go to India where they don't have money and people will be perfectly happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I understand what you're trying
to say. We can't promote perfect happiness.
Oh, no, you know what I mean?
No. But you see, people don't hear. People won't hear.
Yeah.
You know, people think, oh, you can go. But here's the thing. Most people have never fucking sat on a tip with a child that has no money to be able to say that. Do you know what I mean? Because I promise you, if you're sitting on a tip with a child that has no money and you're able to give them money so they can pay for food to fucking feed their mother who's dying of AIDS in a shed around the corner, I fucking promise you, it's going to make them happy.
Of course.
And I think that money gets this... You know, money gets this...
It's like bad rap.
Fucking bad rap. And it gets a bad rep sent down from the higher echelons of religion and banks and fraternities that are just trying to take it from people and say, feel guilty for what you have.
Don't
feel guilty for what you have. You worked your fucking ring off for that.
100%.
You should be very happy for what you have. You should be very grateful for what you've been given.
Yeah, 100%. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm just trying to clarify the point. So it's like... understanding, like that concept keeps you stuck. And that concept is a cycle because what you'll use that as an excuse to stay in the cycle of look at this is what I just do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll use it, well, money's not going to buy me happiness anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or I don't want to be greedy or whatever thought you've got going on behind the scenes keeps you stuck in the loops.
Yeah.
And instead of like people use that as their scapegoat. To not get ahead. And then they wonder why they're not getting ahead. Do you know what I mean? They're using it as their reason, as their scapegoat to stay small or stay stuck. And the truth about it is whatever way you want to look at it, the same amount of energy goes into being caught in the cycle with your finances or being able to have a breakthrough with your finances and start to understand that it's okay for you to have money in the bank. Because financial growth is spiritual growth. And people think that it's – well, if it's the same amount of energy, why would you not want to choose to have money?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's the same amount of energy, then you might as well put your energy into here because then money does definitely make life – simpler in lots of ways, right?
But people need to know that happiness is transient and lucid.
Of course.
But they also need to know that what comes after happiness is sadness. So you can have no money and get money and feel happier.
Yeah.
Or you can have money and get a fuckload of money and feel deeply and feel happier and feel unhappier. Happier because you've got it, but unhappier because you know you're not able to organize it or you're not balanced enough to be able to have it or you don't feel you deserve it.
Yeah.
So it brings you both.
It brings you both at the same time.
Yeah.
So not having money buys you happiness to a degree. Yeah. But then it also doesn't. It buys the other side. Having money buys you happiness to a degree, and then it doesn't to the other side.
That's right.
So that's a great way to explain it. So it does buy you happiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so you might as well choose. Both of either way is going to be the same.
Yeah.
You might as well choose.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've actually got the choice in your hand. And if you are sabotaging your finances, there's a very, 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 very high chance that you're caught up in an illusion based on a story of the past, perhaps a lineage
mm-hmm.
of what it is to be wealthy and to have money and mm. how we want to play small in order to not mm. step up, in order to not step on any toes subconsciously. Because mm-hmm. there's a part of us that doesn't want to step up
mm-hmm.
because subconsciously we feel like we'll be letting somebody who we're loyal to down.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've got mum or dad's poverty mentality up on a pedestal,
mm.
like mum did everything for me and she didn't have any money, then there's a part of us that will stay stuck at that level of poverty mentality until we break through.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody really – I mean, no mother wants their child to be loyal to their fucking poverty mentality.
100%.
You know, the mother wants the child to get ahead financially.
Yeah.
You know, but the children do that on themselves. And correct. Parents don't realize that they're doing that shit.
Yeah.
You know, that they're making their kids feel guilty by fucking saying
– playing small.
By playing small. And I worked my ass off and I fucking did so much for you guys. And, you know, everything was all about you and I wanted you kids to just get ahead. That's a guilt game. If you do that to a kid, the kid can never fucking repay you.
Mm.
They can never, ever, ever repay you and they feel guilted their whole life. And when they can't repay you, it de-inspires them. They suddenly become motivated and now they feel that nothing they could do is ever going to be enough to get back to you what you gave them.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was only when I realized that my father wouldn't want, you know, I didn't owe him anything. You don't owe your parents fucking anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really don't. But lots of people feel as if they do because they come from a fucking parental setup like that that says, you know, they did so much for me. That's fucking wrong. There was lots of things they didn't do for you.
I think, but that's the whole point of being stuck in the cycle, right?
Yeah.
The whole point is that you've got to step outside of it and go, this is what I'm doing. Mm. I'm playing small.
What's the mindset around that cycle?
Poverty mentality.
Yeah, who's that loyalty attached to? Yeah. What's that? What is this? Why am I doing that? Do you know what I mean? What is that? What's the fucking fable I'm telling myself around money that I continue to fuck up like this?
Yeah.
You know, and once you're out of it and you look at it and you realize what it was showing you, you get some fucking home truth. Mm. You know, you really realize some home truths.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, you don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anybody. The only thing you owe anything to is the universe and to make sure that while you're down here as a human being, you can shine light on as much of life as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Be of service to the best of your ability. That's really all you're here to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good place to leave it. Cool.
Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.